And welcome to Courage Cocktail. I'm your host, Leanne McClymont. Glad you join us. Today, we turn our gaze back to the startup community that's growing here in the Triangle Cities of Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Joining us in studio will be two featured guests. Our first guest is Laura Baverman. And later on in the program, we'll be speaking to a guest with guts, Annie Franceschi. What I'd like to do is this. I'd like you to start thinking about what your startup community looks like and what's involved in it. How does it form? Whether you're here locally or far beyond the Carolina Blue, what are the content, what are the connections, and what are the fun things you guys do together to make it all hang together? Well, in the past year or so, I've developed a pathway to build a creative cycle that would continue to spotlight excellence here in our community. It didn't take me long to realize the breadth and complexity of the work of the editor of Exit Event, here based in the American Tobacco Campus in downtown Durham, North Carolina. Now, whether or not you realize this might be a hyperlocal program, the lessons here are easily transferable throughout the nation and beyond. There are pockets of innovation and well-organized relationships among universities, students, businesses. We call these intersections entrepreneurial crossroads. They are the trade routes of the 21st century. Great ideas, be them products, methods, or even communities as a whole, they act as stowaways to culture. Let me explain. You know how you pick up a new smartphone app? Let's say it helps us find a doggy park based on your GPS, and then all of a sudden you discover a whole new community of people with furry friends? Well, that whole app wasn't only helpful to help your dog find a great place to play, but the stowaway gift there is that you were able to find a community of like-minded people whom you may never have stumbled into hadn't you had the smartphone in your pocket. That's an example of grafting community and technology. Seems pretty simple, right? Well, stay with us because we're about to introduce you to a similar pathway. Oh, it's got many more turns in richness than hydrants in green space. Exit Event is a digital meeting place. Yes, it's a place where we find out what's happening, who is building what where, and perhaps the biggest gift here is that the actual community of friendships that rise up from this digital space. Literally, Exit Event is a feeding ground of friendships, partnerships. And how does this seem to happen so effortlessly? Well, that's because of the editor's work, Laura Baverman, who works tirelessly with her team to connect the dots between information and socializing. Many of these events are sponsored by the generosity of larger companies who prudently see the value of building and, in some cases, simply restoring friendships among founders, funders, and a host of other highly skilled and imaginative people, all of whom call the Triangle home. Well, Laura, thanks for brewing with us this week.
Thanks for having me, and effortless is quite the compliment.
Well, it sure looks like that. So you've got to kind of tell us a lot about what Exit Event is.
Sure. As a longtime journalist, I like to consider it an online publication covering the startup community in the Triangle and also increasingly in communities around North Carolina. We're very focused on editorial content and accuracy and all of the values of journalism, but we're in a new world where we're also having physical events. We have a calendar. We're kind of a one-stop sort of place to find out what's going on in this region related to the startup community.
Now, when you think about the word Exit Event, how did you come up with that name?
Well, I did not come up with the name. I'm not the founder of the site. The founder is a guy named Joe Procopio. He's the chief product officer at Automated Insights in Durham. And he founded the first an event series in 2011 to try to get his peers together, other entrepreneurs and founders and investors together on a monthly basis. It involved beer and just general networking. although we like to call it anti-networking because there's no presentations, no name tags, and there's no sales, no service providers, things like that. So anyway, he was he kind of started the networking event, and it grew from there into a sort of a blog and then a social network connecting the community. The name Exit Event is actually a term, Exit Event, which is something that any entrepreneur is kind of planning for, thinking about how they're going to exit their company eventually. so it's sort of that aspirational. And I do want to say that sometimes we get a little flack from this because a lot of entrepreneurs will say, you know, we want to build value in the world. Our end goal is that. It's not to sell our company. But ultimately, in order to succeed and to grow, that's always on their minds too. So
I didn't know that. So it's like the end game.
Kind of. it's just that sort of aspirational thing that a lot of founders are thinking about. You know, how are they going to sell this company? How are they creating value that either for someone else or for themselves?
And you're doing it. And I still hold true to the word effortlessly. I do see this transition or transformation, I should say, between a blog, which is what was, you know, a commentary on the social activities that were going on, into what you've got now. You must have developed a huge amount of structure, order, organization, just synthesis.
I guess in some ways. So the story is that Joe, had been doing this on the side, and his company was growing tremendously. It was acquired last year. He's not the founder, but he was one of the key sort of early employees and executives. And so his company was growing, and at the same time, American Underground, which is a startup campus in Durham where we're based, was also growing, opening a second location in downtown Durham on Main Street, and as, you know, the leaders of that organization were thinking about the future, they were realizing they were creating this physical space for entrepreneurs that was increasingly growing, was going to have about 200 companies when that space opened in 2013. And so, 2013, sorry.
Maybe 2013, because yes, 2011.
Yeah, sorry, getting confused. So they were growing and wanted to also create a digital, a way for people to connect digitally. And so instead of starting from scratch, they acquired Exit Event from Joe and then spent a few months kind of deciding what to do with it, and then eventually decided we want to make this into a media platform. What I didn't mention is that American Underground is owned by Capital Broadcasting, which is, I think, the largest media organization in the state, and operates WRAL.com, which is a major online media property. There's a media background associated with our company at the same time as we're sort of housed within this new model of real estate.
So it's clearly an organic kind of approach. You already have huge resources of media behind you. But let's face facts here, you know, experience doesn't always add up because things change so quickly. So at the same time with that depth, you're also inside a place that's just popping with all kinds of ideas, new places. And what surprised me the most when I started looking around this site of Exit Event, and it is www.exitevent.com.
Yep.
When you go out there, and maybe the listener who's streaming can do that, what I noticed is a calendar of events. Tell us about how that works. There's all kinds of events on your
We only have responsibility for our own events, which happen the third Monday of every month. The rest of those are happening in the community, and people just let us know and we add them to our calendar. That is probably one of the more effortless things that happens on our site. It's a service to the community, and we try to promote the different events that people are doing through social media and by having it available there. We're not the only resource for that, but because we're publishing news every day, we feel like there's a value for having those events there on the site as well.
Now, when you think about your work and you know, what charges you, what jazzes you every morning when you pull into that parking space and start your day?
I would say, you know, throughout my career, meeting new people and hearing what they're working on has always been the biggest motivation for me. I went to college to be a journalist, not really knowing how that was going to materialize, and very quickly fell into business journalism, and really loved that it has a combination of people and big dreams, but they are matched by having to figure out how to make those dreams real. So I really like to see people that are that things are materializing and both learn about their dreams, but also how they're going to get to that point. I'm always learning something new. I'm always covering new industries. I'm always learning about new problems in the world that entrepreneurs are trying to solve. And a lot of these people have really fascinating lives outside of work too. So really every day is new because I'm meeting new people and getting to tell their stories.
How long have you been editor of Exit Event?
I took a little over 2 years. I moved to the Triangle. I'm what we like to call here a trailing spouse. I don't know if you've heard that before, but people
have
told me that.
I have.
I got married and my husband was doing a master's program at Duke University. And I had been pretty much in my hometown of Cincinnati for 30 years. I went to college and then moved back and had opportunities. I worked for Business Journal as a reporter right out of college. And then moved to the daily newspaper. So I have a pretty traditional journalism
newsprint
background. Yeah. I worked there for 4 years, almost 4 years before I moved. But it was interesting because I covered real estate for a while. That was what I got started doing. And if you think about the evolution of sort of the economy, I went from covering like really exciting commercial and residential projects to covering bankruptcies and foreclosures. That's not very fun. So I got really inspired by sort of the entrepreneurial movement that came out of that and started telling those kinds of stories in Cincinnati. Eventually launched a microsite there in 2011. And ran that for about a year, really understood the ecosystem approach to entrepreneurship, what you mentioned before, the universities, the different nonprofit organizations, the governments, and then the ground up sort of entrepreneurial movement and the people that provide the capital for all of that. So I do have background covering startup communities, moved here, freelanced for USA Today, which the Cincinnati Inquirer is also owned by Gannett, and then some local publications, the News and Observer, Business North Carolina Magazine, the Raleigh Public Record, and then did some other freelance work. So I did that for about a year, and then American Underground had contacted me about taking over as the editor of Exit Event. So it was compelling and kind of let me expand on what I was doing in Cincinnati in a market that is really rich with talent and activity.
Well, I'm so happy you brought up other, you know, distant cities, because so many of our listeners, people who sip Courage Cocktail, are not just local. So we try to shape our content so that while we focus on what's going on here in the Piedmont, the stuff, the lessons, the observations, and guess what? The behaviors are very resonant across the country. So when you were speaking there, I couldn't help but think, what was your biggest surprise about the Triangle as a newbie? Whatever, it's a trailing spouse. I don't see there's anything trailing about you.
I would say all I knew before I moved, and we had traveled back and forth some, so I'd spent a little time in Durham and Raleigh, but all I knew was Research Triangle Park, and I knew it as being sort of an example of sort of the combination of innovation in the community and with universities, but I didn't totally understand what that meant because we didn't have anything like that in Ohio. So what I came, you know, from was knowing sort of the individual players. And I thought when I came here that everything revolved around Research Triangle Park. And not to say that it doesn't. I mean, it's a major player, but there's a lot of that grassroots activity that I didn't know about. I was surprised by. There's also, I came from a consumer town, you know, Procter & Gamble, Kroger, Fifth Third Bank, Macy's are all based in Cincinnati. I came here and there weren't as many of those big headquarters, but there were a lot of big companies that had major headquarters that were in the business to business and like software, clean tech, pharmaceutical. So sort of these heavier industries that I didn't know as much about. So I've had a little bit of a learning curve, you know, around that. But it's also really fascinating work that is cool. I mean, I'm learning something new every day. And there are still some of those consumer companies, too, that are really fun for everyone to rally behind in the community as well.
When I consider the Triangle, it's such a place, and I understand your perception of RTP. It does oftentimes to the outside world overshadow every other feature here. And I think it's just that its reach is so, it's such a distant global reach. I think they have their own zip code. But the value is that as you enter in as a newcomer, that you're surrounded by other new people. I mean, clearly, this is like the Brooklyn of the 1840s, maybe. There are so many people from different states here. And we did see that creeping along in 05, 06, and then 07, 08, kind of put a little chill in the marketplace. But I'm seeing it all over again now with those out-of-state drivers' license plates, just seeing everyone realize that there's something valuable here.
Yeah, I think that's true. Not to interrupt, but no. Just this past month's event, I met some people that had had high-level positions that have moved to the Triangle from London, Boston. I think there was somebody at our last event from Washington, D.C., and New York, and that's just at one of our events. They were seeking jobs or opportunities within the startup community, and they came. A lot of times, they were one of their first stops so that they can network and kind of see what's out there.
Well, let's talk about those social events. I know that one was planned Monday, and we got nailed with a snow ice storm, so it got postponed. But tell us about what a typical event looks and feels like.
It's not a chamber event. No, nothing against chamber events, but we try to pick some of the coolest locations in the region. And then we have some corporate sponsors that come in, not always corporate, I shouldn't say that. The event that has been rescheduled to this coming Monday is sponsored by Wells Fargo, but also the 21C Hotel in Durham, which is a really cool modern art museum, hotel, restaurant, bar, place. And so they're providing the food and the beverage and the space. And then Wells Fargo is our presenting sponsor. And they just have really rallied around the entrepreneurial community and wanted to attach their brand to it because they see the influence and the momentum that it has, both to learn from those types of founders, but also as a business opportunity. But there's no sales at our events. People come, they don't have a name tag. They literally get a little chip. It's a poker chip, and they trade it in, and they get a free drink, and there's some food, and they hang out, and they introduce themselves to each other, and they just chat. And that's it. It's as simple as can be. A little more coordination goes into the marketing and the, sponsorship and all that. But it's really just cool venue, great crowd, low commitment. And you just have to basically be social.
You have to be social.
Yeah.
It's so funny. What I think is going on here is that you do register before these events. It's not just walk through the door. Are you on a list and you pre-register?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. I mean, these events are designed to be for entrepreneurs, people who work for startup companies, investors, and then people, job seeking or students. We try not to be exclusive, but that community, it's thrived because that community can get together and not feel like they're being sold to by a service provider of some kind. So, every now and then we'll have some Main Street business type founders come, but it's really aimed towards high growth potential companies. And that is an important distinction, I think, for Exit Event, is that most of the stories, pretty much all the stories we're covering are about people with ambition to grow a business outside of this region that's national or global in scope. They're not necessarily opening like a dry cleaning location or a coffee shop unless they're trying to franchise that, if that makes sense.
Sure. There's a certain, we use this word, and our listener knows it's scalability to their plan, their product, their methods, whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So now, can you tell us a story? What was a cover story or a particular column that you may have written recently that would give a great example of a small startup?
I would say one company that I think is really cool for this region is a company called Transloc, and they're actually based in the Research Triangle Park area. Actually not really a startup. They've been around about 10, 11 years, but have completely reinvented themselves and are innovators in transportation technology. So they partner with transit agencies to make it easier for riders to ride the bus or the subway or whatever it is. And they're introducing some really cool things around on-demand transportations to compete with Uber. And then they're also partnering with Uber and making it easier for you to plot a route, including both public transit and an Uber ride. really trying to address this problem around transportation, but also in an environmentally friendly way, and supporting these huge government investments, which is, you know, transit.
So it's kind of like, all right, let's leverage what we've got in place, and we need to tweak it by organizing and sequencing it. But because we have these smartphones, it's kind of an easy thing to do, or it's become easier to do.
Yeah, I think it's a mobile device that makes it possible for people to be able to find, you know, where the bus is at any given time and decide when to leave their house or when to leave work to catch it.
Wow.
And then consider the other options too. You know, is it faster to take an Uber to a different bus stop and get on the bus there, you know?
Yeah, and less expensive. So it makes a ton of sense to see how we can tighten up more efficiencies on that pathways. You made me think about something, and a lot of people who don't come from this region may not understand this, but our region is literally these towns. There's Durham, there's Raleigh, there's Chapel Hill, and there's Morrisville. There's a variety of these towns inside Wake County and Orange County and Chatham. So what we're seeing happening here is we don't necessarily have a one-place meeting center. We don't have a Wall Street. We don't have a geographic location. Now, it's true that the American Tobacco campus is significant, has great gravitational pull, but considering what's out in Cary and what's out in these other places, it really makes it hard sometimes for all of us to come to one particular meeting place. So when I think about your work at Exit Event, one of the extremely valuable pieces is that it is like an agora. It's a forum. It's a meeting place where people can kind of meet, connect, and understand each other wherever they may be working.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great way of explaining it. It's a digital place because it is impossible. And the community is so big. There's so many companies now that there's no way they could all be in one place. It doesn't make sense. And there are little pockets of physical activity in Cary and in Morrisville where there weren't a couple of years ago. So the physical spaces are coming, and they're providing a place for people to network in their communities. But in order to understand what is happening in this sort of one-hour radius around the region, we are the place where people can come and get a good feel for that.
That's true. That's absolutely true. When you think about what's going on in your own life and your story here in the Triangle, what do you think is around the corner for Exit Event and maybe for Laura Baverman?
We are always trying to grow our audience here in the region. We think there's a lot of people that still don't know what we're doing, still don't know that there's so many interesting companies that they could join that aren't necessarily sitting in a huge campus somewhere. We're trying to reach more students and help them understand that entrepreneurship is a career path. They don't necessarily have to start a company, but they could join a startup and learn sort of the ropes of that. I know that, so we want to continue to, you know, create events or have events that are unique and that provide either education or some kind of access that people aren't getting already. We are increasingly looking for writers around the state to cover some of the activity in other regions. So we have a couple people in Wilmington. We have a newer writer in Asheville, and we're looking at sort of the Greensboro, Winston-Salem, and Charlotte areas for that, so that we truly are, you know, looking at the startup community from a statewide perspective. And then, you know, we've considered, are there opportunities to grow into other markets too? We have no plans at this point, but it's something that we've thought about. When you look at the landscape for these types of entrepreneurship-focused publications, some cities have them, some cities don't. Some of them are more marketing engines than editorially focused. So one thing we've been really focused on is really good journalism, even if it seems to some extent like a marketing approach as well, because we're trying to promote sort of this startup community. We practice all the same editorial practices as any other publication would.
So that means you have a board of editors? You have an editorial board?
No, we don't have don't have an editorial board. I guess I shouldn't say that. And I don't know that any, I mean, we're not covering the vast, you know, we're not covering all those various topics, and we're not producing necessarily editorial op-ed content besides publishing what other people like in the community want to write. What I mean is that we are, you know, committed to accuracy and fairness and covering news like any other publication would.
Okay, I got it. And it's so true. Now, let's think about the call to action. You're interested in building an audience. We have some very loyal listeners, people who listen to Courage Cocktail weekly. I call it an oral tradition now, A-U-R-A-L. And one of the things that's happening is that they're always eager to learn new stuff. How can our listener kind of get involved in your work and help you do your job?
So I guess we're always open to story ideas. I guess that would help me do my job. Right now we're pretty focused on North Carolina, so it would have to be story ideas, you know, based on what I've shared so far in the state. But, you know, we're producing content every day that I think people could learn from if they're trying to start a business or they want to understand about this sort of new economy around startup companies. So any day, you know, Monday through Friday, you'll find fresh content on our site. On Fridays, we send out a newsletter that's an aggregation of all the startup news that happens in the region, not just on Exit Event, but in other publications as well. So you can sign up for our newsletter on our website. And if you are an entrepreneur in the Triangle area, you're welcome to also come to one of our events. And we just ask that people email to get verified as an entrepreneur or a job seeker or an investor or a startup employee in order to do that. So that's emailing info@exitevent.com in order to get verified. And then the invites will come after that.
info@exitevent.com.
Right.
Okay. And your website, of course, is exitevent, one word, exitevent.com to learn more. Well, it's thrilling that you were able to join us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to be here. While we come back to the second half, and we are going to be featuring a guest with guts. Now, Laura, you're familiar with guests with guts because your community is all about people, gutsy people, taking the first step into action. Well, I decided to bring along Annie Franceschi. Annie is working here in the region, and her project, of course, is all about bespoke storytelling. I don't want to make a spoiler alert, but you better stay tuned because there's a free book in the offing. Thanks so much. Look forward to joining us in the second half of Courage Cocktail.
WCOM, your all-volunteer community radio station in Carrboro, needs your support. Do you have an interest in engineering or a computer background? How about an idea for a radio show? Are you interested in fundraising or just meeting a group of wonderful people? Please consider a donation of time or money to support this gem of the community. To find out more, please visit our website, wcomfm.org. To make a financial contribution, sponsor your favorite show, or help support our many featured news and information programs, click the PayPal donate button at the top of our main page. Again, please visit our website, wcomfm.org, and thanks for listening to your community radio station. Thank you.
Welcome back to Courage Cocktail Radio Show, produced inside the studio of WCOM LPFM from the heart of Carrboro, North Carolina. Welcome. We have been featuring the editor of Exit Event in the first half of our program, Laura Baverman, and she was very encouraging and helpful about all the work that's going on in this region that helps people find each other, find events, and kind of find a little home of their own in the startup communities that are vibrant here in the Triangle. But we're taking a little shift now. As you know, we've in the past always featured a guest with guts, and that's somebody who's actually in the throes, somebody who's actually done walk the walk, talk the talk. And I'm very pleased to introduce to you in studio, of course, is Annie Franceschi. Annie, welcome to Courage Cocktail Radio Show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Now, Annie, I want to tell the university or the world about this particular company you have. It's called Greatest Story Creative. And while we're chit-chatting here, I'm hoping our listener goes out to www.greateststorycreative and you'll get a flavor of the kind of work, the excellence in your work that you've been creating. So Annie, come on, tell us a little bit. How do we fit in this program into what's the same about the startup community and what's different about your world?
Well, it's really wonderful to be on this program today with Laura, because I actually was supposed to attend Exit Event until it got rescheduled, so I'm going to go next week. But what's interesting about the kind of the contrast between the community that Laura is trying to serve is I actually serve the small business community. You know, as Laura mentioned, people maybe starting a dry cleaner or, you know, a dentist or a lawyer, usually solopreneurs, people who are doing something, maybe they're leaving a corporate job and starting a business for the first time, but generally encouraging and helping people develop branding and creative for those small businesses is really my sweet spot. And I am not a startup. I am a small business as well. So we kind of, between Laura and I, are covering a huge spectrum of an amazing entrepreneurial community here in the Triangle.
So how did you come up with the story, the name of your company, Greatest Story Creative? Come on, tell us the story.
Well, absolutely. And so Greatest Story is, I like to say it's a branding agency that tells your story at every aspect of your life. So we are not, though we make logos and write copy and create websites for entrepreneurs, we also do things like when you're getting married, we create custom wedding invitations that tell your love story. Or if you're applying to college and you want to tell your story well in your college admissions essays. So we do everything from business and career professionals to wedding events and everyday projects. And the heart and soul of the business and why it's called Greatest Story is I firmly believe that we all have a unique story about who we are and the value that we bring to other people. And my business is really to get to know what that story is and to help people express that creatively. So I'm all about live your greatest story, which I think is live the best life that you have the potential to live, to play to your strengths and to be, you know, the amazing person that you are and whatever it is that you're trying to do.
You know, you've got to tell our listener what your own pathway was like. What happened and how did you come upon this foundation that's very sturdy, very authentic? How did you get there?
Well, it wasn't easy, and it wasn't something I ever thought I would be doing. I never thought I would own my own business necessarily. I grew up in Fayetteville, North Carolina, not far from here, and I thought I wanted to be in the film industry. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a screenwriter or a producer. And I went to Duke University for undergraduate, and I studied filmmaking. And I did what, you know, anyone in North Carolina has to do if you want to be in the film industry, which is I moved. I moved 3,000 miles to Los Angeles, and I did that. I worked in the film industry in L.A., and I worked for a company called Lionsgate, which is the studio that makes The Hunger Games. And then I ended up working at Disney. And Disney was an incredible experience. I worked there for 4 years. It's my favorite company on the planet. And there I worked in this new team to Disney called Franchise Management. And basically what that team did was get the word out about upcoming films to the entire Walt Disney Company. So Disney's such a huge company, you have to get the word out about stories years in advance if you want to have product when you walk into Walmart that has you know, Rapunzel on it, or you want to have a great new ride at the theme parks, you've got to get that story out very, very early and often before we've even shot the movie. So it became my role to kind of tell those stories and to put together these story presentations for those things. It was very much a dream job. I kind of worked my way after getting lots of coffees and that kind of thing, doing the whole Devil Wears Prada of it all. But
Devil Wears Prada. I get it.
Absolutely. So, you know, got a lot of coffee, but finally kind of got to this point where I was like, wow, I'm really, you know, I'm writing stories of great movies for a company I adore. And what was funny for me is I kind of got to this moment where you know, rarely do you ever get the job you thought you wanted, the dream job. I got my dream job and realized, funny enough, that it was just a job. It wasn't a whole life. It wasn't the life, the dream life that I really wanted to live. And that was really, very honestly, was because the work I was doing wasn't changing much. It wasn't really having a lasting impact. And I wanted what I do with my life to really reverberate, to really make an impact on people. And though I love what I was doing and it was wonderful and sexy and fun and I got to meet amazing people and make great relationships, at the end of the day, it just wasn't a take home. So it wasn't something that was going to last forever. It was just, you know, making my boss happy. And we've all made bosses happy. 3 minutes later, they're unhappy about something else and you're off solving that problem. So on the side, I had kind of just started, I'd shared my wedding invitations on a personal blog, and somebody had come to me and said, hey, can you help me tell my story for my wedding in my wedding programs? And I thought, oh, that's so weird. I never thought about using this storytelling skill set and writing skill set and pairing it just with my creative side to help people tell their stories. And that was kind of the genesis of it. And having had that small taste, I said, you know, I could spend another 10 or 20 years at Disney, but I really want to see what my whole life's going to be. And I don't want to look back when I'm 80 and kind of regret. And so I said, you know, all right, I'm going to quit my dream job. And my husband quit his dream job in the film industry. And we moved back here to North Carolina. And that was 2.5 years ago. And that's exactly when Greatest Story started. And I haven't looked back since.
You say this, and it's this cadence, this natural flow. Well, of course, it's this implied sense in your story that, why, of course I had this big wake-up moment, and of course I went back to North Carolina.
Right.
I mean, it was like, what do you mean, Leanne? There was no question that there was something, that was a place that you wanted to stop, learn, grow, have some fun, but it wasn't an end point. And both Laura and I, we both looked at each other when you were saying that story about, hey, at the end of the day, you know, it's a job, is it my life? And this is where I get so curious, because your generation, there's this lot of emphasis placed on millennials. There's a lot of talk about this great generation. Boy, you guys have a lot of stuff, great stuff going on. But there's this sensitivity that may have been lost on previous generations, which is, hey, you know, we work, we want to contribute, we want to have something, you use the word reverberate, perfect radio word. We want to have an impact. And you don't want to have this impact in a way that's at the end point of your life. You're doing it with a greater sense of intentionality. You want to have that impact at the earliest possible time so you can leverage and make decisions that are consistent with that. It's almost like a North Star. I'm reaching for something that very few people are so clear about articulating. And in your story, that was my take-home message. Tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Absolutely. And I you know, often when I speak as well, and I just always start, I talk about how you can use storytelling to kind of improve your business or your career or life as a college student. But I always start with my story because it is that sense of finding a life on purpose. You know, and I guess I was always that person that thought, when I was 20, I thought I was going to wake up and be 50 the next day. And I was just very aware of time in that respect. And I don't mean to make it sound like, aha, and this is how everything put together. If we had all the time in the world, I would tell you all the things I went through. And that aha moment I described to you is definitely more of an aha year.
Ah, yes.
You know, many books read, many things. I read the book, one particular great book for your listeners is The Power of Starting Something Stupid by Richie Norton.
I never heard of it.
Great, especially for startups as well. But it's just about, you know, not being afraid to start things. And it was one of the books my husband and I read as we were deliberating. You know, are we crazy? Are we crazy to leave when things are getting good and things are successful? And you know, I do believe the truth will set you free, and that I am very confident now, but I was, you know, 2.5 years ago, I was like, what am I doing? And, you know, there's lots more to that story about uncertainty and trying to figure those things out. But now that I've given my, I gave myself permission to try to try this and see if I could invent a business around what I like to do. And what's been wonderful is that I've seen that really pay off and see it encourage others, which has really become my heart in what I do for a living.
There's no question that you both are working in rich matrices, very rich medium, growing mediums, knowing whether it's an issue of startups that are super scalable and technologically driven, or smaller solopreneurs and things. You're both kind of fueling the same sense of, I want to be doing something on my terms. So one of the things that I thought our listener would truly enjoy is Annie's got this book out. It's a, right now you're offering it as a free ebook. But when we met for the first time, you mentioned it briefly. And I thought about it. I went back to the site, as always, and did my research. And I want to spend some time talking about that book. First and foremost, the name of the book is, give us the real name.
So it's a long name, but the short name is Skip to Action.
Okay.
But it's Skip to Action, 22 free and meaningful things you can do right now for free to start your first business. So basically it is just a kind of a quick start guide. It's 22 different things that you could do right now that are completely free. And it's meant to really just encourage people. I myself was somebody who spent many years thinking about starting something and then was afraid to. And I wrote this book for the person I used to be, that person that needed that encouragement. Like, wow, like, okay, 22 things I could actually just do right now that cost me nothing. I don't have to have a budget or a loan or anything like that. Just something that would help me get started, because I do believe that starting a business, it just doesn't happen overnight. And if you try to figure everything out to start with, you never start.
That's right. That's why the cover is so special. Lights, camera, and then scratch, and then it was Skip to Action. So we are a Courage Cocktail radio show, and our whole genesis was based on fear, recognizing how fear kind of fits into decision making. It can be a great navigator, but don't let her drive or him drive. It drive. You choose your pronoun. One of the two topics that I thought was great in this 22 item list was the first one, fear the status quo, not the unknown. I'm going to say that again. Fear the status quo, not the unknown. What do you mean by that?
So this really goes back to my days at Disney, and I think I had a lot of fears around starting something, whether it was this personal blog I started or eventually a business, and kind of putting myself out there, and especially the idea that I would quit. That I, you know, I told everyone that I wanted to be a producer or screenwriter. I went to LA. What are they going to think of me if I quit? And what happened to me is as I started educating myself and reading a lot of these books and just asking myself some tough questions, is I realized that I was actually more afraid of things not changing, of me never getting to do the things I wanted to do, of being stuck with a great job. I mean, it's a great job, but as I said, it wasn't a fulfilling life. And I think that that's what I've noticed in a lot of people's lives, is you kind of reach this tipping point, and it's important to get there where, you know, yes, the unknown is extremely scary, but have you thought about what if things never change in your life? What if you never take a risk? And having taken a couple big risks several years ago, it's infectious. You take a couple, and I'm not to say that everything I've done has been successful, far from it, but you do one thing and you were scared of, and man, it makes you want to do another and another, and suddenly you turn around and your life looks very, very different. So that's where the book starts, is, you know, fear the status quo, because hey, like, we all think about the unknown, but do we think about the years we're spending worrying about it?
Yes, I think that's, you've definitely cued our interest. There's another chapter there for, and you said this, become insanely curious in your own industry and beyond. Tell me about that.
So I think this is actually kind of harkens back a little bit to what Laura does and the work that she does with Exit Event and sharing content and getting people to have conversations. But to me, this is always about I say I like to swap stories with people. Like Leanne and I actually met just a few weeks ago at a That's similar right. kind of event, and we connected because we both enjoy swapping stories. And I believe that you can learn something from everyone. I think everyone is worth knowing. I wrote something about that for my newsletter. And the thing is that we all have something within us, something we can teach each other. And I think that if you're trying to start a business, one of the best things you can do is invest in other people and get to know people's stories. Everyone wants to share their story. If you're polite and you ask them, and you're very appreciative, everyone will share that. And who knows what kind of relationships you can build when you start to share your story with someone. So that's why I say, like, even if you want to build like a particular kind of company, hey, sometimes the job is actually to sit down with people who are just fulfilled by what they do. It may have nothing to do with the job, the business you're trying to start, but you might get a great idea or make a great connection or really just build a great relationship with somebody who's doing what you want to do in the sense that they are living a life that they love.
We spend a lot of time talking about relationships on Courage Cocktail because it does shape and inform so much of our futures. When I think about all this technology and stuff like that, there's a ton of competition here. You know, we're on our phones. We see people in restaurants. The big thing that I thought was so hysterical was on Valentine's Day, the Twitter feeds were like all these people in restaurants talking on their phones at a romantic meal. So sometimes we have this duality where we see technology as maybe making it harder to speak in real terms. But on the flip side of that, sometimes there are ways of using technology like Laura's doing at Exit Event that actually does bring people together. And I can see your story device, your whole way of being, your whole branding company as helping people feel more comfortable sharing their stories as long as they kind of get it in the right order that's easy to digest. So on that theme, I'm going to go right back into that free book thing and talk about chapter five, get ready to look dumb. Oh my goodness. I think this is the best advice. When you're in a radio world, you come into so many, as Laura knows in media, you learn so many experts. You're confronted with trying to make sense of the deep, deep, deep siloed pieces of knowledge. And the simplest questions, you just sometimes feel stupid. Tell me, how did you manage this, and why are you promoting this as necessary ingredient?
It's absolutely a necessary ingredient. And I say it because I think a lot of people don't say it. I think it's to me, I've read a lot of books. Another one was Steal Like an Artist by Austin Kleon. And some of these books were permission for me to be vulnerable, to take risks, to ask someone to coffee, to look dumb. And to me, get ready to look dumb is all about that permission. It's you know, I know this feels awkward. I know it's weird. Like, if you've never started a business before, you have no idea what you're doing. So it's okay to own that. And most people really respect it. I think where you end up having conflict when you meet new people or you're trying to get something is where you don't own those things, where you try to act like you know everything. And nobody expects that of you. And I think sincerity and authenticity can't be faked. And it is so, you know, a great connector for people. So that's where it's like, I know it's a funny, catchy thing to say, get ready to look dumb, but you will feel that way. You will feel dumb. You will ask dumb questions. You will make big mistakes. But, you know, the other part of that too is that you're not big yet. You know, no one's like putting you on Martha Stewart tomorrow or the Ellen show. Like, you can make mistakes. Nobody's really watching yet. You know, this is the time. This is the time to be vulnerable, put yourself out there and not worry too much about that because we're all going to look dumb.
One of the other just jewels in this 22 tips book was something that I learned a long time ago. It's this word, log line. Oh my gosh. Log line is something that you use when you're in the movie industry and you have to raise money. You have to recruit the top talent. You have to deal with agents and you have to come up with a log line. Oh, please teach us. What have you learned about log lines? What are they and why do they matter?
Absolutely. So growing up, as I mentioned, I wanted to be a screenwriter. Mm-hmm. And I've written a couple feature-length screenplays. And the thing about trying to sell a screenplay is a lot of people don't have time to read a screenplay, like especially executives. That's why a lot of interns have jobs is because they're reading screenplays for a living. But the thing, one of the quickest ways to get your idea across is a log line, you know, about just a sentence or two about what the story's really about, you know. I'm trying to think of a good example off the top of my head.
What would your log line be?
Right. So really what it means is something that wouldn't be like, you don't have time to read my business plan or read my whole website. I say, you know, Greatest Story is a branding agency that tells your story in every aspect of your life. So that's something I can say in an elevator, I can say to you here, I can say in front of a large group of people. But anytime I'm put on the spot, I know a very quick line to tell to get the point across. You may only have 10 seconds with someone who could change your life, you know, but have that ready. And one of the great things, exercises I put in the book is, because this comes from the world of movies, you can go to a website called IMDb.com. So IMDb, which is Internet Movie Database. And you can look up any movie and you can see what the log line is for that movie, to get a sense of how do you encapsulate the story of something into a sentence or into two sentences, to really kind of get to the heart of how do you do that quickly.
Wow. All right. That's a great lead. That's a terrific lead. When you think about the log line, you know, we're always in these startup communities, they, especially the events, Lara is crushing these events. They're so crowded and it's like packed and you wander through a room. It's really exciting. It's perfect. You really don't have much time to meet and mingle. So you do have to have these log lines. So that's a great clue. It's the IMDb.com as a way of kind of practicing, cutting your teeth, exercising some encapsulation of your story. But time is of the essence here. We've got to keep on moving. I'm dying to have you explain maybe just two other points. One of them is this. You're all about free here. Free book, inside the book. There's all kinds of free links. Get one here. Tell me a little bit about this, your experience doing this online presence in 30 minutes or less.
Yes, absolutely.
Is it possible to do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And this is really more of a point on the sense of, do I think that you can create a super professional, gonna run with it for a year or more website in 30 minutes? No, I don't. What I'm recommending is that you put together some kind of landing page. So one-page website, think of it as an online business card. And in the book, you'll get several links to places you can do that 100% for free. And my point is that if you're working on something, you need to start letting people know. Because if people don't know, then they can't help you. And this is, people wait until everything is perfect. And like, you know, I do branding and people wait until they have their logo and all this stuff. That's okay. You'll get there. You'll have a professional website. But in the meantime, especially when it's forming and you're trying to figure this out and you want to let your friends and family know so they can start to connect you and to help and support you. Hey, it's the 21st century. Get a website and you can do it for free. There's sites like about.me, where you can get a free landing page, and all it is, you just throw up a picture of yourself or no picture at all, write your name and, you know, your email address, and one sentence, maybe that log line of, you know, I'm in progress working on this. It's just your little online business card. It'll work for you 24/7. And to me, it's, why not do it? You can always update it. You can always do a brand. It's very human nature to kind of save these things and be like, well, it's not perfect. I don't have the perfect everything. And the spoiler alert is nobody has the perfect everything. You know, and we miss opportunities when we don't throw our shingle out there. And that shingle might be a little bit of a mess, but hey, at least it's something to invest in if it's out there.
I so understand this. And this wonderful lesson that you speak to, and so few people say this. I mean, we have the final point, but this is the penultimate conversation, which is plan to be scrappy with money. Don't mess with debt. Spoken like a true banker, huh? Tell me about it.
So I will caveat this with saying that everyone should do what they feel is appropriate with their money. I'm not meaning to tell everyone how to handle money. I really speak from personal experience.
Yes.
But several years ago, kind of in tandem with this idea of leaving Disney and leaving LA, we discovered a book called The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. My husband and I discovered this book and really changed our lives. And what Dave Ramsey is all about is just being very intentional with your money. And I thought, if I'm writing a book about free things you can do, advice I wish I'd had, or I want people to have if they're thinking about starting a business, is I think there's kind of a notion that you have to take out a loan, that you have to have funding to start a business. And my own business, I never took out a loan. I've run it completely debt-free. I only have a debit card for it. I don't even have a business credit card. And in the book, I talk about why I do those things and why I think it's been successful. Obviously, in Laura's world, you don't necessarily have that luxury factory, depending on how big a scale you have to start at, if you have to prototype. You know, I realize there are those limitations, but for the solopreneur and for people who are starting, especially service-based businesses, where you're just having to create things kind of from your own brain and using a laptop, you know, you don't need to have an office right away. You don't need to have a fancy marketing budget or an ad in a magazine right away. In not having debt allows you to make different kinds of choices, and I think that that is super powerful in the business world, but also in the personal. So I'd be kind of, you know, inauthentic to not share those best practices that I kind of took away from having approached it from that perspective.
And while I can't end up this program without saying one of the most moving messages that Annie shared with me was the thank you letter. And how important that is, this handwritten thank you letter. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, my mother, she passed away when I was 17, but she instilled in me a big love of handwritten thank you notes. And it's interesting, in the time that she's been gone, in this decade, it's just, they've just become antiquated. People don't do it anymore, especially my generation. And this is what I end the book on, this spoiler alert, is the biggest, most important thing you can do right now to start your business is to start saying thank you. And to do it authentically. And that means, you know, whether it's shooting off a quick email or writing a handwritten note, dropping off a gift, appreciate the people who are supporting you, whether they're sharing something on Facebook or they're sitting down with you to coffee. You know, be a part of that and say thank you. And it's something that we don't think about, but people give you their time and you need to appreciate that. And if you do appreciate it and you make it a practice to do that, then that goes a long way to building long-term relationships to support your business.
I think we're back to that word of reverberation. And speaking of going back, we are running out of time. I wanted to thank you both. Thank you both. Laura, you are just in step with what's going on, how fast you're leading, and you're bringing into this week's Courage Cocktail an enormous amount of energy. I'm so happy that you shared with what it is you're doing.
Thank you. Thanks for having me and letting me share it.
It's absolute pleasure. Now, your book is a free book, and it's out there on your website?
It's on my website, which is www.greateststorycreative.com. Okay. If you type in /join, you can go directly to that page.
Well, and as we close out today's show, I certainly have to do a shout out for Bill, being a great soundboard engineer. I also want to thank the founder, the supporter of our program this year has been the NC State, North Carolina State University, and an EEE grant for the advancement of women entrepreneurs. Honored that they are supporting our work. Also, I want to give a heads up for next week. Speaking of free book, the Carborough resident who is now working out in Durham, Ricky Woolman, joins us, and we're talking about Free Booksy and what's next ahead for their large business. She's formed a new media company. I think you'll all find it very interesting. And finally, I want to thank about many of our listeners who have written to me. You know, we produce this Courage Cocktail, then we pour it in a to-go cup, which is really our podcast, and they get spit out through many different channels. One of them, of course, is iBiblio over at UNC Chapel Hill. I want to shout out to those folks. Thanks for supporting our community effort here in Courage Cocktail. As always, you bring the lunch and I'll bring the Courage Cocktail. Thanks for listening to us. We'll be here next week for you. Have a great week.